realistic hope. That is what we have in the Lord.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown here. I've got some very important news to share with you, some news that will impact you as listeners, and some great things to share with you, and a message of hope and encouragement in the midst of the storm, in the midst of realism. So we're going to have a great broadcast today. I will not be taking your calls because right now, as you listen to me, I am en route to the Philippines. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. And as we've joked about it in the past, we are unable to broadcast live from 35,000 feet in the air. So let me just make this important announcement first and then tell you where we're going on the broadcast. When I began on live radio, what, 8, 9 years ago, it was first Saturday, one day a week for 1 hour. And I remember doing the first show, and it's like, okay, I got to wait a whole week to do this again, and I'm ready to take calls and do this and find out what I'm doing and learn to do it better. And then sometimes I was traveling and speaking on a Saturday, so I have to pre-record the show, so it might be a couple of weeks in between broadcasts. It wasn't long after that that I was asked to go to 5 days a week. And I knew that's what the Lord wanted us to do. I'd known that for some time, that that's what he was calling us to do. So we went to 5 days a week, 1 hour a day. And then at a certain point, that was in the evenings actually, then we switched to our current time slot. And then we were asked to expand to 2 hours a day. Did that for a while, went back to 1 hour. And then back in 2011, expanded again to 2 hours a day, and we've been at that ever since. So we have been regularly broadcasting lots and lots of hours with joy, putting out videos, doing all this, but we're going to be making a change in our radio show length right now, and that'll affect you listening on podcasts too. So we're not going anywhere. This is a long-term calling to be on live radio and to be broadcasting and speaking and doing what we're doing by God's grace. But and especially if you listen to me in Charlotte, North Carolina, and perhaps some other cities as well, Eastern Standard Time, the 2 to 3 hours, this is just talking Eastern Standard, we will not be on from 2 to 3 live. We'll be on from 3 to 4, same stations you're listening on, all right? That means the podcast in the immediate future, we don't know what we'll be doing long term, but in the immediate future, we'll be basically 1 hour broadcasting instead of 2 hours of broadcasting. That being said, we are doing this for several strategic reasons. We know God wants us to reach more people more effectively. The extra hour that we are getting is being used for production. It is being used to get a message out. We will see the best ways to do that in the days ahead, be it more YouTube videos, be it live broadcast on YouTube or Facebook, be it live broadcast in other settings. We are prayerfully exploring all that. But if we've been a blessing to you, pray with us because we are here. No hype, no joke. From the depth of my heart, God knows it. We are here to be your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. And if ever together we needed to sound our voices, it's now. If ever our voice was needed to be louder and clearer, it's right now. So I am your voice. This is your voice. We are doing this together. The change will come into effect the beginning of September. The first Monday in September is when we'll be going from 2 hours to 1 hour. But again, this is to do what we're doing even better, to reach even more people even more effectively. Pray with us. Stand with us. We've got some very exciting plans in the days ahead. We'll be sharing with you and letting you know how together we can make an incredible difference. Does America need to hear from us now or what? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here. Welcome to today's broadcast. Again, not taking your calls right now as you're listening to me. God willing, I am en route to the Philippines. We'll be giving you updates from the Philippines and some special broadcasts from there in the days ahead. We have a large team in the Philippines. It's the largest we have anywhere in the world in terms of fire missionaries. These are folks that by God's grace we got to pour into, we got to teach, we got to train. They sat in our ministry school. Some were greatly impacted and changed in the midst of revival and then came to our school. They are doing amazing work in the Philippines. You know, you hear about God moving and it's exciting and it's amazing and people touched and people saved and people set free. But I'm always wondering, where are they a year from now? What's happened in this life 5 years later, 10 years later, right? Lasting fruit. We are here for lasting fruit, friends. Anybody can have an exciting flash, momentary burst, you know, and it looks like so much is happening. But what is the lasting fruit? That's what consumes me. That's what burdens me. And I know that's what's important to you also. Yeah, here today, gone tomorrow. What good is that? So when God really moves powerfully and people are dramatically touched by the Spirit, that's why we pray for revival, because there's lasting fruit. It's not just emotion. It's not just a temporary and momentary display. We're talking about transformation. So we have a team. Maybe if you total everyone up between men, women, and children, it's maybe close to 50 people, numbers of families, some big families, some singles there. And they're doing amazing work, from rescuing children sold into human trafficking, to caring for the poorest of the poor, to planting churches, to raising up schools of ministry. We have a full-time ministry school there as well. So together, with my friend, colleague Scott Volk, whom you've heard on this broadcast, we are scheduled to be in a couple of different cities for about 1 week in the Philippines. So if you think of it, just pray for grace on us, traveling grace, grace with the, 12, 13-hour time differential, grace to pour out, because there'll be a lot of meetings we'll be speaking at, that the Lord will move, that lives will be dramatically touched. All right, friends, I want to give you hope and encouragement today, but can I give you some realism so that against this backdrop of realism, we have hope? I said right at the outset of the broadcast, realistic hope. That's what God gives us. We are not pessimists looking around at the gloom and doom of our society, looking around at often the sorry state of so many Christians, looking around at all the bad things and saying, it's no hope. It's throwing the towel. It's over. There's no hope. Nor are we starry-eyed optimists. And we just are, everything's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. And the world is crumbling around us, or people are dying around us, and we're just happy-go-lucky. Everything's going to be okay. That's not realism. Realism looks at the problem head on. We have a problem. Think of Abraham in Romans 4. There are two different Greek texts that scholars debate in terms of which preserves the more accurate reading. But the overall reality is the same. One text tradition says this about Abraham in Romans the fourth chapter. Remember, God speaks to him about a seed, about a child when he's 75, but it's 25 years that go by until he's 100 years old. That's when the promise is realized. So listen to this. In hope, Abraham believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Now, some texts read, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body. Others texts read, he did not consider his own body. In other words, one Greek text says Abraham looked at his own body and said, I'm as good as dead. I can't have any more children. Sarah's 90 years old. She's going to have children. It's not going to happen. But God promised. Therefore, I believe. Our faith is not based on circumstances. Our faith is not based on what's possible to people. Our faith is based on what God said. The other Greek text says that Abraham did not look at his body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, he ignored it. I'm going to believe God. Either way, you see, it's the same thing. I'm going to look at the situation and see it's hopeless in the natural, but I believe God. Or I am not even going to acknowledge the hopelessness of the situation because I believe God. Now, you have to understand, if God had not spoken to Abraham, that would have been presumption. It would have been presumption, it would have been foolishness, and nothing would have happened. But God gave him the promise. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And that's why he is called righteous by God, because he put his trust in God. And God said, that's the man I'm looking for, the man who trusts me. So we are realists. We see the hopelessness of many of the situations around us. We see the dangerous turns in our society. Friends, can I be candid with you? I'm saved now, going on 46 years. A couple months from now, we'll make 46 years by God's absolutely amazing grace. And I've never seen in this time what is happening right now in America, with a real attempt from the left, from those that call themselves liberals or progressives, a real attempt on their side to shut down dissenting views, to shut down freedom of expression, to shut down those who have a differing viewpoint, to silence them, to brand them hateful, to brand them Nazis, to brand them KKK, whatever else they want to call them, hate groups, inflammatory speech, hate speech, and to shut us down. I'm talking about people like you and me. We've been talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center. Come on, think of it. The American College of Pediatricians is on their hate group list, along with neo-Nazis, murderous skinheads, black supremacists with murderous intent. I mean, real bona fide hate groups who would have no problem saying, yeah, this is who we are. This is exactly what I believe. You better watch out for us. Exactly. Along with groups like that, as we've shared with you, the American College of Pediatricians. These are children's doctors who took issue with the PC atmosphere in the National Organization of Pediatricians and felt that the way that these doctors were dealing with kids who identified as transgender was not in their best interest, and broke away and formed their own group. They're put in the same category as neo-Nazis. Friends, there is a real attempt to shut us down. And you have to understand, those involved have a tremendous amount of power. I'm going to paint a bleak picture for a moment and then give you encouragement. All right? So it's going to get a little bleak, but stay with me because you'll be encouraged by the end. But right now, to use a metaphor, we're showing you how dead Abraham's body is and how dead Sarah's womb is and how this couple cannot have children, but God promised. It's also, though, for the church, a wake-up time, a sober time, because things are worse in many ways than we have ever seen. So, right now, we're in a situation where various groups on the left with tremendous power, so much is done through the internet today. These groups, because they are the biggest on the internet, be it Google, be it YouTube, be it Facebook or others, and others working behind the scenes, they can basically shut you down. And your traffic, your income, your reach becomes a fraction of what it was just because someone basically pushes a button, so to say. And then you have groups like the SPLC, the ACLU, with hundreds of millions of dollars at their disposal, and they can just wear you out in court cases that go on for years and years, and their pockets seem to have an ever-flowing cash supply from those who believe in their cause. And you have the George Soroses of the world, these billionaires with these radical leftist views that are in many ways undermining the very best things about our country and seeking to undermine our liberties. These are formidable foes. And ultimately, it's the devil who hates them and who hates us and wants to destroy us. He wants to kill and destroy George Soros, just like he wants to kill and destroy you and me. That's the devil. It's a dark, challenging time, but God. All right, encouragement coming your way on the other side of the break.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. Looking forward to coming your way later in the week from the Philippines, broadcasting from there right now, asking for your prayers as I travel over there. And yeah, it's a good hefty amount of travel, a lot of hours to get there, and then a lot of ministry once we're there. So we really covet your prayers and thank you so much for standing with us. All those who believe in the ministry work that we're doing and stand with us, this is a great time to help financially. Towards the end of the summer, often a lot of ministries face many challenges, even through the summer, somehow giving just drops. And we are a ministry, we're a nonprofit. So the money that comes in, it goes right back out to the gospel. It goes back out to fund broadcasts like this, to get us to places like the Philippines and other parts of the world. So please stand with us. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate. If you've been a regular listener and haven't stood with us and helped, hey, we're blessed to pour out for you. We're someone else has given to help us to minister to you freely. Maybe it's time for you to give to help us to minister to someone else freely. All right, not taking calls. Again, can't do that from 35,000 feet in the air. But let me give you some realistic hope, because there's more realism coming your way as the show goes on. But the realer I get, the more hope you're going to get. Can I ask you a question? As messed up as things are in America right now, as much division as we have in America, as much conflict as we have in America, as much moral chaos as we have in America, as many problems as we have in America, think of what things must have been like in first century Rome and in the Roman Empire. I mean, you had an absolute dictatorial leader. And in some cases, these leaders were madmen. They were demonized madmen. Whatever's happening to believers in America, nobody's literally crucifying us right now. Nobody's literally tying us to stakes and then pouring gas or oil, whatever, over us and setting us on fire and using us as torches. Nobody's doing that here in our country. And yet, throughout the New Testament, you don't find any pessimism. You don't find any hopelessness. You don't find any kind of mentality of throwing in the towel and it's all over. Might as well quit while we're ahead, or just kill us so we can go to heaven. Oh, yes, there's the hope that you can't really touch us. You can kill the body, but you can't kill the soul. That there's a God that we serve and revere who can destroy both body and soul in hell, Matthew 10:28. He's the one we fear, not people. Revelation 12:11. How do the saints overcome the evil one? They overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, by not loving their lives even to the point of death. That's how we overcome. That's how we find freedom. That's how we find victory. But friends, hear me. Nobody is doing to us right now in America what was done to believers in the Roman Empire. That's not happening. We're not being brought before the government authorities and told to renounce our faith or die or watch our family killed in front of our eyes or be thrown in prison and tortured. That's not happening. The reason we're speaking up, the reason we're raising our voices, the reason we're sounding the alarm is because for no good reason, our liberties are being taken away. What I mean for no good reason, for no valid reason. And there are people trying to shut us down and demonize us and marginalize us. And then who knows what's coming after that? Do I personally think that the SPLC or the ACLU or gay activist organizations or Google or YouTube want to burn Christians at the stake? No, no. I mean, you might have a crazy person there who does. You get crazies everywhere. Do I think that they want to imprison us and torture us? No. Do I think they want to shut us down in terms of our influence and our voice? Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And you say, well, what about you believers? You want to silence us? No, no. We don't want to silence them. We want to enjoy the freedoms that we are promised as Americans. So if you have a differing voice, differing opinion, freedom of speech, go for it. Have at it. I'm not trying to silence you. What I'm trying to do is advocate for my views, which I believe are best for America because they are based on Scripture, and preach the gospel and show that Jesus is the way, the best way, the only way, the true way, and that God's ways are ways of life. And if you have a differing view, then let's debate it. Let's discuss it. You put yours forth. We'll put ours forth. We're not trying to silence others. We're not trying to say you can't have a place here. It's one thing if you have an exclusively Christian area or exclusively gay area or exclusively Muslim area or exclusively transgender, you know, and that's your group and those are the views and don't come in our group unless you agree. But in a free society, we're not trying to suppress others as the left is trying to do to us. It is urgent. It is serious. But I have hope because the same God who rocked the Roman Empire is our God. I have hope because the same Jesus who rose from the dead is our Jesus. I have hope because the gospel right now is growing and expanding in places like Iran, the underground church in Islamic Iran. All of the Ayatollahs and all of their edicts and decrees and all of the Sharia law and all this, it's produced the opposite of what they want in that there is a Holy Spirit revolution taking place in the country. And where did the gospel grow and flourish the most? Come on, think of it. In the last 100 years, what nation has been most rocked by the gospel in terms of numbers of converts? Well, one of the top candidates would be China under communism. The great growth happened under communism. Seeds planted for years, the blood of martyrs planted for years, but then the great growth when the church was shut down as the government tried to do it. God's moving all over Africa in the midst of animism, in the midst of Islam, in the midst of tribal religion. God is doing this. So I see all this stuff happening around us as bad, but I know this could be the very thing that helps the people of God to wake up, because the greatest curse that we've had as believers in America is complacency. Complacency. So all the junk, all the bad stuff happening around us, God's using it. And my prayer is that God will use it much more to awaken a sleeping church before our liberties are taken, before our kids can't teach their kids what they believe in homeschooling or in Christian school, before these kinds of things happen where the pressure is greater than it's ever been to conform or else. Now is the time to awaken. But friends, God's ready to move. You know the theme that I'm hearing from more and more people as I travel and talk, and I have not heard it this much in years. Revival, awakening, revival, awakening. Friends, I have not heard these things this much in years. That means God is stirring hearts. It's time to pray. It's time to believe. It's time to stand. It's time to cry out. Let it start with you. Let it start with me. God, fresh fire in my life. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire broadcast. This is Michael Brown here to encourage you, strengthen you, be your source of realistic hope. I'm not taking calls today as I am presently en route to the Philippines, thanking you for your prayer support as we have a very intense week of ministry there together with my friend and colleague, Scott Volk. And my plan is that you'll be hearing from me in the Philippines as the week goes on. Let me start here today. Hope, realistic hope. Many of you know my new book, Saving a Sick America, comes out in less than 5 weeks. September 26th is the release date for Saving a Sick America. I wish I could press a button and get that book into every one of your hands because it will fill you with realistic hope and with a battle plan. It's not about a book. This is about our future. This is about hope. This is about America. It's about what God has called us to do to be world changers. But a few days back, I did my first interviews on the book. When the book comes out, then of course we'll do a ton of interviews on all different settings and get the message out every way we know how. But I did my first interview. Maybe some of you heard it. I was on with my friend and colleague, Eric Metaxas, and we planned to do another interview when the book actually comes out, but we did this pre-interview and then air another interview when the book actually comes out, talking about the book. And I want to be honest with you. You know I am. I'm always honest, but really speaking from my heart, I was so blessed. The more we talked, the more you could feel faith rising. The more we talked, the more you could grab hold of hope. And I felt like God was shouting in my ears, hope, hope. That's the theme. That's what comes bursting out of the pages of your book, hope. That's why the last chapter, talking about the dark days in which we live, is called the church's great opportunity. This is a divine moment. Oh, we may not like how we got here, and there's been a lot of sin and mess and disaster that's gotten us where we are, and yet, in the midst of that, God is working. God is moving. God is doing something. And I was blessed by the degree of hope that was coming off those airwaves as Eric and I talked. And that's what I believe will be coming into your heart as we look at the New Testament mentality in the midst of difficulty and pain and trial, God's real, lasting, and true hope. By the way, if you haven't yet downloaded for free the intro and the first chapter of Saving a Sick America, go to savingasickamerica.com. SavingASickAmerica.com. If you decide to pre-order the book, you like what you read, you see the table of contents, it stirs your heart, you want to read the rest. If you decide to pre-order, you go to Amazon or Christian Book or Barnes & Noble, wherever you order online, then go back to Saving a Sick America there, put in the order number, it's real simple to do, and we'll send you the first four chapters of the book in advance. So you can be reading ahead you get them in a PDF. You can start reading immediately before the book comes out. And then you'll also get a free ebook that I wrote just for this purpose, 5 Ways to Pray for America. A lot of us think, well, how do I pray? What do I pray? Where do I start? And it's big, it's mind-boggling, it's challenging, it's overwhelming. We lay out 5 good principles for prayer. You'll get that ebook sent to you free when you pre-order. So if you've done that, then go back to savingasickamerica.com, put in the information there. It's very simple, and you'll get the PDF of the first 4 chapters sent to you immediately, and you'll also get the free ebook on 5 Ways to Pray for America. All right, friends, we come back. I'm going to give you some jarring news. About censorship, about discrimination, and then words of encouragement from the New Testament, from people in the midst of suffering. Realistic hope.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us. This is Michael Brown. And if you missed an earlier announcement made in the broadcast, this will not affect every one of you that gets our second hour live. So that's 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time, or 2 to 3 if you're in a different part of the country, or 2:30 to 3 if you're Central Standard, just getting the last half hour. Won't affect you. But say if you're in Charlotte, North Carolina, and some of the other cities that get our first hour live, or if you're used to listening online live to both hours on our Line of Fire app, we are cutting back to 1 hour of live radio daily. I believe that hour will even be sharper and clearer and more used by God. And we are going to be putting out other material. We'll let you know when that is, where that is, how you can listen to it, watch it as that unfolds in the coming days. We are not cutting back on our overall production. We're just cutting back right now for the moment on our radio time. So if you're listening live between 3 and 4 in the afternoon Eastern Standard Time, anywhere within that, you are totally unaffected by this. It's those that would be listening live from 2 to 3, or when you're listening on the podcast, there'll be a shorter broadcast, but by God's grace, as sharp as ever, if not sharper, and with a lot more content coming to you in other ways. So pray with us. We'll be sharing more of this in the days to come. The change will happen the first Monday of September. But again, doesn't affect everything is exactly as it's been for years and years and years. If you're listening between 3 and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard, or between 2 and 3 Central Standard, you can figure out the time frames through the rest of the country. All right. Let me share something with you very disturbing. Because the hope we have is realistic, so it's not just sticking our head in the sand and ignoring reality. No, we see reality, but we have hope in God. There's an article on Huffington Post, which is one of the more liberal news sites on the internet. Huffington Post: people cheer companies kicking Nazis off the internet, but who's next? It's Jessica Schulberg and Dana Libelson, and here's a quote: any tactic used now to silence neo-Nazis will soon be used against others. All right, so here's a report. The Daily Stormer, a website started by a neo-Nazi, has promoted racist, anti-Semitic, homophobic, misogynistic content since it was founded in 2013. But this week, after a deadly white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, several tech companies effectively kicked the site off the internet. Some of the companies that stopped doing business with the Daily Stormer argued that the website violated their terms of service by inciting violence, which major internet companies prohibit. But a CEO at one of those firms sent an email to staffers on Wednesday that frankly acknowledged what other tech companies have refused to admit publicly. The interpretation of terms of service is often subjective, giving internet infrastructure companies the power to effectively shut down their customers' websites whenever they feel like it. That leaves any group's ability to keep operating its website subject to the arbitrary whims of private firms. This is what Matthew Prince, CEO of Cloudflare, wrote of his company's decision to stop offering the Daily Stormer protection from distributed denial of service cyber attacks from hackers. This is what he said: I woke up in a bad mood and decided someone shouldn't be allowed on the internet. And then he said, no one should have that power. He realized it set a dangerous precedent, and he told the staffers, no one should have that power. So you have to understand, the same people that say neo-Nazis shouldn't have freedom of speech, do I despise what they stand for? Obviously, do you? Of course we do, to the core of our being. But unless they are violating certain guidelines, like unless they are inciting people to violence and trying to get you to go out and kill somebody or do this or that, and they're just posting ugly things and things that we find morally offensive, then they have every right to be on the internet like others do. So the same ones that are shutting them down today may be trying to shut you down tomorrow. I don't know if you know what it feels like to go, say, to your Facebook page. And by God's grace, we have a large Facebook following. We've got, over 540,000 people there. And then that, in turn, leads to reaching millions and millions more than that. But I don't know if you've ever had this, that you go to post something, you find out you've been blocked, you've been stopped. And you try to reach people with an important message, and you can't because they shut you out because somebody didn't like, or a bunch of people didn't like one of your posts. Or you go to do something online and realize we're not communicating. We're not getting to the people we were getting to before. Something is seriously wrong. And you realize somebody just had the power basically to shut you down. Boom. Just like that. So we're living in times that are dangerous in that regard because of the nature of the internet and people's ability to stop a freedom of speech. So Robert Spencer, Jihad Watch, a site that I often go to see what's happening in the radical Muslim world. Robert Spencer's been a guest on my broadcast, and he's articulate, he's clear-headed. He's calling for people to boycott PayPal. He said PayPal bows to left fascist pressure, endorses jihad, drops Jihad Watch. Now, we contemplated boycotting PayPal in the past and even went through some costly things at our end to look into it. And just a lot of people that want to support our ministry and help, the easiest way for them to give was PayPal. And we thought, okay, it's for the gospel. Money's going to reach people with the gospel. And if it's the easiest way for folks to give, so be it. But the day may come when we change that decision entirely. So here's what happens. The folks at PayPal have dropped Jihad Watch as an account. Why? Because Jihad Watch exposes radical Muslims. Oh, no. They're guilty of extreme hostility towards Muslims. No, they document how radical Muslims kill other Muslims. And they just do it. Shut the door, and that's it. You can't. There's, as Robert Spencer says, they function as judge and jury. He says, in reality, I oppose, he said, judge, jury, and executioner. Yes. He said, in reality, I oppose jihad, mass murder. PayPal apparently thinks that makes me a hate monger. I oppose the murder of people who decide in conscience to leave Islam. PayPal thinks that makes me a right-wing extremist. I oppose honor killings, female genital mutilation, scripturally sanctioned wife beating, etc. It means Quran sanctioned. PayPal thinks that means I'm too hateful to use their service. He said, so if you support the work of Jihad Watch, close your PayPal account now. Contact them and tell them why. Tell all your friends that PayPal has bowed to left fascism and to boycott it. What happened was that Southern Poverty Law Center, they have a list of hate groups. Well, Jihad Watch is on it. Jihad Watch is exposing hate groups. Jihad Watch is there to reveal what radical Islam does and how it points to its roots of the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad, the example of Muhammad, etc. You might differ with their interpretation of the Quran. You might say there are other ways to read the passages. You might say, well, Islam is really a religion of peace, but don't we all stand together against radical Islam? That's what Jihad Watch is about. PayPal's trying to cripple them or say, well, we ethically can't work with them. These are serious times, friends. You know what's happened to us? If not, go to our website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and watch, read the article, and watch other material we have there that documents this, but YouTube demonetized hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of our videos. Now, I'm charged and excited and in faith, believing that everything that YouTube or the world or society or the flesh or the devil or whoever or whatever, whatever is intended for evil, God will turn for good. And if one door is closed, another door will open. And our videos are still up there on YouTube, but you agree that they will be, quote, monetized. And that means that a five-second ad will run at the beginning of the video. Sometimes there are other ads that can come up. Ours is a five-second ad will come up. And then you just press skip this ad and go on and watch. And you get a fraction of a penny for each time the video is watched. So, I mean, it takes millions of views of videos to bring in income, but that's just, we just use that for ministry. And trust me, when you're a faith ministry like we are, every dollar matters and makes a difference, and you're glad for it. And what do we do with it? Well, we put out more videos, and we seek to improve the quality of what we're putting out, and we put out more live material, and we seek to be your voice. And here you have YouTube basically shutting off a supply that was rightly coming through our videos. You say, yeah, but they have guidelines. Like if you're speaking against a group, you know, if you just say, for example, that something wrong with homosexual practice or that Bruce Jenner's not really a woman, well, you know, that violates terms. Okay, we'll debate that separately. But we have videos. Did Jesus claim to be God? You know, what does the Bible say about this subject? I mean, just simple theology like that. The King James translator's preface refutes King James Version onlyism. Unsuitable for advertising. What in the world are you talking about unsuitable for advertising? 88-year-old Jewish woman calls our show, Orthodox Jewish woman, thrilled to find the broadcast unsuitable for advertising. What law did that break? What guideline did it break? None. But the shutdown is underway. Time for us to stand up and fight back. Hope coming next on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm not sure if all of you heard a call that came in this past Friday. A young man from Canada wanted to know how to fight discouragement because as he sees pain and suffering in the world, it was right after the latest terrorist attacks in Barcelona, Spain. Radical Islamic terrorist attacks, watching the mess happening in the world around us and looking even in Canada as rights are being taken away from Christians and others there. It's discouraging. And he asked, what do I do to fight discouragement, or what would I recommend for others who fight discouragement or in order to fight discouragement? And I said, you know, I do get hit with discouragement sometimes. And yeah, I get hit with demonic attack and have some real battles like everybody else. But generally speaking, my relationship with God or the way he's wired me or a gift, whatever it is, I don't get discouraged much. So I don't want to use myself as an example there because many of you have it a lot harder than I do. And I gave some principles to help. We had a break, so I made it as quick as I could before the break. But the first principle was to turn your eyes up to the Lord because he's always good. He's always good. Have you ever been like a little down or something and maybe you look at your baby and the baby's got this big drooly kind of smile and goo goo gaga and kind of thing, and all you could do is smile in return because the baby is so cute. Look, in the presence of God is fullness of joy, not just emotion, not just getting psyched, not just the adrenaline flowing, but fullness of joy. In his presence, there's no discouragement, there's no pessimism, there's no fear, there's the holy reverential fear of who he is, but there's no servile fear or fear of tomorrow because he is good. He's good and he's in control and he's God and he loves you. So the first thing you begin to look to him, you begin to worship him and praise him and adore him and thank him for who he is. You say, but it doesn't feel like he's doing good things for me now. Don't judge by your limited feelings and experiences. And maybe you're under the worst attack of your life, and this is the worst season of your life, and it feels like a living hell, and it feels like God's nowhere near. He's still good. He's still good, and you'll see his goodness when you get to the end of the story, either here or in the world to come. So you begin to praise him and worship him and thank him that he's good, that he's loving, that he's kind, that he's just, that he never leaves you and forsakes you. You start quoting promises back to him. And then if you can thank him for specific things he's done when he came through for you or family member or friend, it builds faith. It gets you looking in the right direction. And that's why Paul, writing from prison to the Philippians, could write, rejoice, 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 rejoice. And you get the feeling reading Philippians that it's a book of joy, that Paul's writing with joy as he writes. And here's amazing. Remember, he's in prison for the gospel, right? He's in prison for the gospel, but he says, hey, this is all going to turn out for the good. It gives me another opportunity to advance the gospel, right? So he's getting to preach to people he wouldn't get to preach to otherwise. And look at how he ends this. Look at this. Philippians 4:22. Before the final verse, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, be with your spirit. Look at verse 22. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. In other words, I've been winning people here to Jesus. They put me in prison to keep me down. They put me in prison to shut me down. And I'm winning people in Caesar's household here. In the belly of the beast, I'm leading them to the Lord. Come on, for many, many, many years, outside of the Bible, the most widely translated, widely printed book was John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Where does he write that? In jail. So you go to shut him down, you put him in jail, and he gets the word out even more. God is able to do that, friends. Our hope is in the living God. Look at these words from John. He's on the Isle of Patmos. He is exiled to Patmos for the gospel. According to tradition, I don't know if it's true, but according to tradition, he was boiled in oil for his faith. He was actually, according to tradition, boiled in oil twice. And when he didn't die, they just said, forget it, we'll exile him. So we don't know if that tradition is true, but we do know he was exiled. And perhaps the whole tradition is true. So look at this. Revelation 1:9. I, John, your brother and partner. Now look at this. In the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So notice, he says, hey, I'm your brother and partner. In what? In the joy, in the victory, in the celebration, in the good news, in the new testimonies. Well, yes, but also, because it's time of suffering, persecution, in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus. Wow. So he's saying, hey, we're in this together. This is our lot in Jesus. And notice there's tribulation, testing, pressure, and we endure patiently, we persevere. But notice, remember a pastor pointed this out decades ago, kingdom is right in the middle of it. The kingdom of God, the rule of God, the reign of God, right smack in the middle of tribulation and patient endurance. Just look at the clock here. Do I have time for one more? Yeah, Romans chapter 5. Look at what Paul writes there. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus the Messiah. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Yeah, real sufferings. Read 2 Corinthians 11 and look how Paul suffered. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So we end up not just justified by faith, enjoying the grace and goodness of God. We end up going through suffering, persecution for the gospel, because of which endurance, perseverance is produced in us, out of which character is produced, which leads to hope. Now we know we have not believed in vain. Now we know the God who has kept us will keep us. Friends, show me the chapter and verse in the Bible that says that there will be no great awakening in our future. I don't see it. I can't find it. I'm believing in the midst of the darkness, the chaos, the sinful insanity of our society, that God is going to rock the boat yet again, and that we will have a mighty national outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Friends, let us stand in hope and faith, and right now, while we have a voice, let us shout out the gospel louder than ever, the way we live it and the way we preach it. Remember, friends, at AskDrBrown.org, that's the place to go to say, Dr. Brown, we're standing with you. We're in this together. AskDrBrown.org. Click on Donate to join our support team today. Together, we are making a difference. Lives are being changed by the power of the gospel. It's not too late for a nation. And if you have life and breath, if you're breathing, it's not too late for you. Cry out. God remains.